Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That word continue is to adhere, cling to, be devoted and constant in prayer. Continue all the time in prayer. These are all different definitions of the word. Be steadfastly attentive to pray. Persevere in prayer and don't faint. Those all are the definition of the word continue. Prayer is not just something that we do a couple of times in the public worship. I hope that prayer is not only that to anyone. Although we do pray publicly and worship Him publicly, prayer is not just something we do when someone needs prayer. Everyone needs prayer all the time. Of course, we pray for specific people in specific circumstances, but not only that. Continue in prayer. Cling to it. Adhere. Persevere in it. That means to overcome difficulty. Prayer is not always easy. We've talked about this several times before. Prayer is very time consuming. But can you imagine a better way to spend your time than in supplication before the throne of God? Prayer is a heavy thing. It's like preaching in that regard. And I'm not saying that our prayer is like the Lord's when He was in the garden and He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. But I'm saying that we bring everything to the throne of God. I'm saying that we labor in prayer. We labor to know how to pray. We labor to know what to pray for. God is in heaven and you're not. Let your words be select. We labor to recall and to mention specific needs of specific people. And we beseech God on their behalf. I don't really know how to talk about it in specific terms. But it's not always enough just to say, Lord, be with so and so. We have to enter in our hearts, we have to enter into their situation and bring supplication to the Lord more deeply than that. We have a lot of people we love, and they have a lot of needs. We desire prayer above just about anything for ourselves. How many times did Paul say, pray for us? Pray for us. Prayer is an immense privilege. It should always be considered such. Have you ever thought about this? You're going over everybody's head when you pray. You ever think about that? You're talking to the manager. It's important to remember what Job learned when we pray. He said in chapter 42, verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything. Do we know that when we pray? And that no thought can be withholden from thee. Now you might think that means that our thoughts are, he's aware of our thoughts, but that's not what that's saying. It's saying no thought of thine, no thought of God's can be withholden from him. In other words, whatever he thinks, desires, wills, nobody can stop him. Is that who you pray to? What a privilege. What an incredible privilege. Look at this word watch for a minute. Watch in prayer. That word means what you think it does, but consider that prayer is how we do that. Watch in prayer. That's how we watch. Give strict attention. Be cautious. Be active. Our Lord has told us to be sober, be vigilant. That's the word, watch. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But ask yourself this, we're to watch, be sober, be careful, be watchful, be concerned, be aware of our enemies, but what are you going to do about it? How are we watchful when it comes to our enemies? Oh, you better be careful now. You better do this. You better not do that. You better. What are you going to do about the devil? The way we watch is in prayer. Lord, you keep me. Keep us from the evil. Keep them from the evil. Is that not what our Lord? You see what it, watch in prayer. If Satan seeks to devour you, how are you going to stop him? Watch, but watch in prayer. And then with thanksgiving. When we consider prayer unto our Father, it's difficult not to think about children and their relationship to their parents in this world. Children tend to want things. You notice that about them? They want stuff. They want everything. Can I have this? Can I have that? How often, unless you carefully teach them, how often just naturally would they say a week later maybe, a few days later after you get something for them, thank you for my toy. Thank you for that, Daddy. Thank you for that, Mommy. How often do you think they would do that? Teaching them to say thank you when they first get it is one thing. What do you say? Thank you, Daddy. That's right. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes when they're asking frantically for something in the store, maybe ask them this, aren't you happy with what I've already bought you? If they say, no, I want this, then maybe it's time to teach them something more. If you're not happy with and thankful for what I already bought you, why would I buy you something now? And this applies to more urgent needs that we have before God. Not just, we don't ask for toys of God, but if we're not thankful to God for what He's done for us, why would He grant us our requests anymore? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. Adhere to it. Realize the value of it. Realize the privilege of it. Realize what a treasure it is that God allows us to come before Him. Next verse, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not only is giving thanks God's will concerning us, but the everything, in everything give thanks, for that thing, whatever it is God's will concerning you. We believe that? Whatever it is. In everything give thanks. In bad times, is it God's will concerning you? Do we indeed know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? Then in everything, give thanks. We don't have to be glad that something terrible happened, but I can be glad that God did it. How can I not be glad that it is the Lord? Let Him do what seemeth Him good. I may not rejoice in having my heart broken, but I can rejoice that God's the one that broke it. Psalm 51:8, make me to hear joy and gladness. In other words, make me to hear the gospel. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You see, the gospel teaches us that Christ is all. And that if we go through trials, because He shed His what is the gospel? The Lord Jesus Christ shed His precious blood for me. And when He did, He redeemed me. By His stripes, I'm healed. He's a successful, victorious Savior. And how shall God, if He spared not His own Son for me, not also with Him also freely give me everything? Look at verse 3 in our text. Withal, or while you're at it, praying also for us. While you're praying, pray also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, withal praying. While you're praying, pray for me. And look at this. Paul prays that he might be able, by God's grace and power and providence, to preach the gospel, to do the one thing that is the cause of his suffering. I'm in bonds for that gospel. Pray that I might preach the gospel. The grace of Christ is so overwhelming and so heart-changing. We don't pray like this world prays, do we? By His grace, we don't. We pray for His glory. We pray for that as we saw a while ago, knowing what the will of the Lord is. I know this about the Lord's will. I know what the Lord's doing in this world. He's exalting His Son. To speak the mystery of Christ. Pray for that, that I might be enabled by the grace of God to speak the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross is not the mystery of Christ. Everybody knows that. This word mystery means hidden. What is hidden from everybody until it's revealed is that Christ is all. Help me preach that, Lord. Pray that the Lord would give me grace to preach that. That Christ is God in human flesh and He does as He pleases, when He pleases, with whom He pleases. That's the mystery. That's what they're not getting. That's what's hidden from this world and all of its religion. That's what's hidden. Lord, give me grace to preach that. To preach who He is. Who Christ is a mystery to every sinner that God must reveal. And we know how He does that by the preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But who is sufficient for these things? With all praying. While you're praying, pray for me. That the gospel would go forth in power, His power, in clarity and boldness. The fact that He is the almighty, unfailing Christ is hidden from religious people, isn't it? To this religious world, He's the Christ that wants to if you'll let Him. He has a plan for your life, but you can mess that up. Would it be a shock to you if I told you anything that we can mess up, we're going to mess up? You can't mess up the new covenant. We messed up the old one, didn't we? That's why the Lord sought for a new one that's older than the old. I will, and you shall. The mystery of Christ is that He Himself is life. Martha knew Him well personally. She heard His word. She walked with Him, but she still trusted an event. It is hidden to the hearts of sinners that He Himself, Martha, don't trust the resurrection. He's the resurrection. That's a mystery to this world. God, help me preach that. Well, I got saved when I was 10 years old. He is salvation. The mystery of Christ is that everyone for whom He died is redeemed and forever saved. That just kind of makes good sense, doesn't it? Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that unless and until God reveals it to them. That's a hidden mystery concerning Christ. That He's utterly successful in His sin-atoning death. That He didn't die in an attempt or an effort. He died to save and He saved. He died to redeem and He redeemed everyone for whom He died. That's mysterious to this world. Not only is it a mystery to them, but when they're presented with it, they despise the one whose precious blood is effectual. Nobody knows it, and you're not going to know it unless and until God reveals Him to you, who He is and what He did. He doesn't provide salvation. He is salvation. That's mysterious. He doesn't make salvation available. He saves sinners. And Paul said this, that God would open a door. Religion loves to picture the Lord Jesus Christ outside the door of the sinner's heart knocking. Won't you let me in? It's up to you now. Won't you let me in? That verse in Revelation 3:20 is taken completely out of context. And the picture that religion paints is a fairy tale. When it comes to the gospel and the success of the gospel and the salvation of sinners by the preaching of the gospel, God doesn't knock on doors. He opens them. Aren't you glad? Do you want to see anybody saved? Do you want God to politely knock on their heart to see if they're interested in letting Him into that? Dear God, deal with them as you did Saul of Tarsus and shut them down. That's what needs to happen. Shut them down. Shut them up to Christ. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. This is the opposite of mystery. That I may make it manifest. Dear God in heaven, give me grace to take that which is completely hidden from the black hearts of men, verse 3, and make it clear as a bell. Now let me be clear about being clear. Me making it clear is not going to save anybody. But this is the way God saves everybody He saves, by the plain, clear simplicity that's in Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:12, seeing then that we have such hope, such vital hope, such precious hope, we use great plainness of speech. I thought you said it's a mystery, Chris. Mysterious plainness. That's the gospel. Mysterious plainness. It's hidden until God reveals it. The truth that Christ, God's Son, does as He pleases, when He pleases, with whom He pleases, is not complicated or hard to understand. There couldn't be anything more simple than that. You know, what really gets complicated is when you start thinking about what religion teaches, that he influences, he woos, but he can't violate your will. He can't just save you because he wants to. He can't just walk up to you. Well, he kind of did, didn't he? He can't just walk up to you and say, your sins are forgiven. But that's what he did. But when you start preaching that, that gets complicated, doesn't it? Because it's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe he didn't woo. Does he woo everybody exactly the same? If he doesn't, that's not fair. Does he providentially arrange the same experience of hearing the gospel for everybody that ever lived? Doesn't look that way. But it's not fair if he doesn't do that. You see how complicated that is? You know what's simple and plain and clear? He does what he wants to. He saves who he wants to. They don't let him get away with saying that's complicated or that's deep, dark doctrine. No, that's plain. That's as plain as the nose on your face. You just don't like it. It's not hard to understand. It's just hard for sinners to take. Unless and until God brings them down and shuts them up to His Son. The truth that the precious blood of God's eternal Lamb redeemed and saved every sinner for whom He shed it is not a complex thing to grasp. It's not ambiguous in the Scriptures. It just says that salvation is not up to you. It's up to Him. And sinners despise that Christ. They love the idol that they worship that leaves everything up to them. And they will, unless and until God brings them to submit to Christ, who is Himself the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If Christ will, He can make you clean. And nothing, thank God, is up to you. The mystery of the gospel concerns who Christ is and what He did on Calvary. And this is hidden from sinners by nature, but He's God. He's in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And what it pleased Him to do and what He did was save His elect by making His very soul an offering for their sin. He laid down His life for His sheep, and they shall never perish. So simple, isn't it? So clear. Simple cause and effect. I lay down my life for my sheep, and they shall never perish. Pray for me that God would give me grace to make that manifest, to make known, to be plainly recognized, and thoroughly understood. The gospel is recognizable, isn't it? It's recognizable. Even those that don't believe it realize it's not the same as everything else that they've heard. And when we preach Christ, may God make it so that those who hear plainly recognize that we're not saying what religion says. We're not saying it's up to you. We're not saying God loves everybody. We're not saying Christ died for everybody. We're saying it's up to God. We're saying what the Scripture says, that God elected a people, is clearly revealed in Scripture. And we're saying that Christ's precious blood is effectual. It gets the job done. It's shed particularly for His sheep, the elect. I lay down my life for my sheep. Those that the Father gave me, all of them shall come to me. Those that the Father gave to the Son in the eternal covenant of grace. We say that Christ was and is perfectly successful in redeeming every one of them unto God. That's a very recognizable message. That's the word there. That I may make it manifest. That sinners would recognize the truth of God in the Scriptures, that Christ is sovereign. That as the Father giveth life to whomsoever He will, He's also given authority to His Son to quicken whom He will. It's a recognizable message, and it's how God saves sinners. And may we never say anything else or hear anything else by His grace.